Up some of the message of those words tonight as we remember the true meaning of Christmas. And it's somewhat easy to remember the Lord Jesus as the babe in the manger. It touches everyone's hearts, doesn't it? But you can't have the babe in the manger and that scene in your mind without also coming to Golgotha's hill, coming to the cross and seeing Jesus Christ hanging there and dying there for you and for me. So we want to just consider tonight for a few minutes the theme of the greatest gift. And we have a verse of scripture, or we did have a verse of scripture there behind us, which our sound man will put back there for us so we can have it up there for the sermon. But it's going to be from John 3:16, and this may be a familiar verse for some of you. But we're not going to take that for granted tonight. We're just going to consider the theme of the greatest gift. Let me just commence tonight with a little bit of an illustration. You know, if I was to tell you that at the end of the service tonight I had a gift I wanted to give you, how many of you would receive it? Hands up. Okay, now don't get your hopes up. I don't have any. Okay, but of course you would. I mean, the thought of rejecting a free gift seems so foolish to us, doesn't it? In fact, I've even seen people who don't celebrate Christmas still receive gifts, okay, because most people won't knock back a gift. Well, you know, you say how foolish it would be to reject a gift. Well, you know that some people actually do, and we don't often think about this aspect to a gift, but a gift can either be received or it can be rejected. Let me read you a little excerpt from an article about how many gifts get returned at this time of year. And the article reads, "People always say that it's the thought that counts when it comes to gift giving until you've left the room, at which point they start working out when they can return a dud for something they actually want. According to research from Optoro, a company that helps retailers process and resell items, shoppers return nearly $70 billion worth of purchases during the holiday season. Considering the National Retail Foundation's prediction that retailers should bring in around $630 billion total during, this was back in 2015, the 2015 holidays, that's a significant hit. And that may not fully express how many bad gifts are out there. In 2013, the Daily Mail reported that 42% of women returned holiday gifts from their husbands, who should, theoretically, have at least some insider gifting knowledge. The same study reported that 17% of recipients planned to donate an unwanted present, 13% planned to re-gift one, and 10% would simply throw the gift away. A GameStop survey indicated that 98% of their customers had received at least one holiday gift that they'd rather return. So as we think about gifts tonight, while we shouldn't, as Christians, be thinking that way, of course, gifts can actually be rejected. And it's important that we understand that tonight, because when we talk about the greatest gift at Christmas, the gift of Jesus Christ himself, it is amazing that the bulk of humanity, many, many people simply choose to reject that gift. But it's the most precious gift that we could ever receive. Can you imagine receiving a gift from heaven itself? Can you imagine receiving a gift from God himself? But that's exactly what God wants to do for you this Christmas. God wants to give you the most precious gift, the most wonderful gift that you could ever receive. And so I want to try and commend that gift to you tonight, and I want to plead with you, please don't refuse it. But I hope that by the end of this service, you will want to receive it, okay? And so we have our verse of scripture behind us here. Why don't we all read it together? Many of you can probably quote it. Let's read it on the count of three. One, two, three. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Let's pray and then we'll go into the message tonight. Father, we thank you for this time of year when we can remember the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the greatest gift. Lord, I pray that you would just take these few moments together, that you would speak to us now through the word of God. Help us, Lord, tonight to recognize, Lord, how infinitely precious Jesus Christ is. Lord, that you offer us tonight the forgiveness of sins, the gift of eternal life, the gift of yourself, Lord Jesus. And I pray, if there would be anyone here tonight who have not yet received that most precious gift, I pray that tonight they would reach out hands of faith and receive the gift that you want to give them, the gift of eternal life. So bless us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I'm going to just talk to you about this gift for a moment from our verse and just break it down nice and simply for you. I want you to notice firstly the source of the gift. Where does this gift come from? Let's look at it there. For what? God so loved the world. Where did the gift come from? It came from God. God, it's a divine gift. The book of Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says this, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So it's described in the Bible as the gift of God. Now this time of year, many people have gifts on their minds. And that's not entirely a problem, but we need to think about this gift that God wants to give us. The gift of eternal life. What an amazing gift that is. Now in this verse, in Romans 6:23, we have both bad news and good news. The bad news is the wages of sin, the Bible says, is death. And the Bible makes it very clear, doesn't it, that we've all sinned. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so one thing we have to come to terms with tonight is that you and I desperately need this gift. That's the point the Bible makes very clearly. We have a great need because we are all sinful people, and that is why God wants to give us that gift tonight. Now in Ephesians 2:8 and 9, we also have this gift mentioned. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is, there's that word again, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, the Bible tells us very clearly in these verses that to be saved from sin, to receive forgiveness of sins, to receive eternal life, it is not of two things. It is not of ourselves, and it is not of works. So this is not something we can earn. Now, we understand that, don't we, when it comes to a gift. Is a gift something you earn or something you receive? Well, it's something you receive, isn't it? Okay? It's something that someone else pays for to give to you. Now, if you imagine now on Christmas Day that you have sacrificed and you've saved up to buy a special gift for a family member, can you imagine now if you took that gift to them and you gave that to them because you love them, you've paid for it, you've spent time putting it together. Can you imagine if that family member turned around and said, can I reimburse you for the gift? Now, maybe some of you would be secretly pleased to hear that. But, you know, I think most of us here would be offended by that, wouldn't we? You would be offended because you sacrificed and you paid the price so that that person could have the gift for free, true? How do you think God feels then, when God paid the full price to give us a free forgiveness, to give us a home in heaven, and we come to God and we try and pay him with our good works? We say, well, God, I know that you came, Jesus, you came and died on the cross for my sins. You were buried and you rose again. But, you know, I go to church. I do all these good things. I've been baptized, or I'm a religious person, or I've been to see the priest. And we come up with all these ways in which, in a sense, we try to contribute something to our own gift. Well, that's offensive to God. God says it's not of ourselves and it is not of works, lest any man should boast. So we have to understand that tonight. So while on the surface it seems simple, doesn't it, to simply receive a gift from God, it actually becomes very complicated on our end, because it means we have to humble ourselves. It means we have to recognize that there's nothing we can do to inherit that gift. There's nothing we can do to earn the gift. There's nothing we can do to pay God for that gift. We have to come with empty hands and simply receive it. And that requires humility, doesn't it? It requires us to humble ourselves, to realise that we are sinners, that there's nothing we can do, that only God can save us. You know, the Bible describes this gift in a special way in 2 Corinthians 9:15. Listen to the words here. It says, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." You know what the word unspeakable there means? Indescribable. You think of the most amazing gift you could possibly receive this Christmas. You think about the most amazing present that you could perhaps give to somebody else. Nothing compares to what the Bible describes as the unspeakable gift. It's indescribable. It cannot be put, it means you can't fully put it into words, just how wonderful it is. And we shouldn't be surprised, should we, to be forgiven of sin, to be given eternal life, to be with God forever in heaven when we die. That is an indescribable gift, isn't it? That's an amazing gift. Why would you not want to receive that gift? For God so loved the world. So can you see the source of the gift? God so loved the world. Not only was this a divine gift from God, but it's also a love gift. Can you see the word love there? There's a lot of talk about love today, isn't there? A lot of talk about love on the radio. A lot of talk about love on the programs. A lot of talk about love between individuals. But God's love is a love like no man or woman can give. For God so loved the world. This was the motivation behind the gift. And you think about that. When you give a gift to someone, usually what's the motive? Love for the person. Because of your love for them, you want to give them something. And you know, that was what it was for God. God, the Bible tells us, is love. 1 John 4:8. God is love. And it was God's love that was the power behind him desiring to give us this precious gift. Do you know tonight that God loves you? You know, the Bible tells us right here, God loved what? The world. You're part of the world? That means God loves you. That means God loves me. That means nobody is excluded, doesn't it? God loved the entire world so much that he gave his son. The Bible tells us in 1 John 4:10, herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Do you need love tonight? You know, there's so many broken hearts out there, isn't there? So many broken hearts. And people think they've found love only to find themselves disappointed in time. But listen to me, there is a love that is a divine love. It's a love that comes from God that you can know by receiving it. And it's the gift of love, the gift of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So we have the source of the gift comes from God. Now, the content of the gift, what is in the gift that he gave what? Read it with me. His only begotten Son. So God so loved the world that he, where's that word? Gave. His what? Only begotten Son. Okay? We could think of it this way. If you think about the gift, just an illustration, you could say the wrapping on the outside of God's gift was love. But when we open it up inside, what is the content? What do we find? Well, what is it that God gave? Well, he gave the Lord Jesus. He gave his only begotten Son. Can you see here that God does not just love in word only? God loves in action. That's a big difference, isn't it, to what we experience very often. You understand this, don't you? It's easy to say you love with your mouth. It's much harder, isn't it, to follow that up with actual actions. Well, we find that God's love to us was not an empty promise. It was a love that was demonstrated. God loved, he gave. You know, the love of the world tends to be self-centered, doesn't it, and selfish. What's in it for me? You hear often people talk about this. Well, I just didn't want to give up on the relationship because I wasn't getting my needs met. Or I didn't, you know, feel I was really getting the attention I deserve, and the list goes on. And so people are self-motivated there, and they're looking about how they can benefit from the relationship. But, you know, God's focus was actually the total opposite. God's focus and his love was upon us. The Bible tells us in Romans 5 verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You say, what does that word commendeth mean? It says God commendeth his love toward us. Well, it simply means to show or to demonstrate. God showed us his love. God demonstrated his love. He didn't just say he loved us. God showed us his love. And how did he do that? When we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, that's an amazing thing. We understand it's relatively easy to sacrifice and to give something to someone who loves you. But you think about the person in your life whom you find the most difficult to get along with. You think about the person who maybe, I hope you don't, but maybe you even hold secret hatred towards. Can you imagine buying the best gift for them at Christmas? Can you imagine doing that for them? Well, you know, that was just a little bit, it gives us a little bit of an idea of what God did for us. God didn't give us the gift because we deserved it. Far from it. The Bible says we were sinners. We were sinning against God. We broke his laws. We offended God. We were, in fact, we were so bad in our sins, the Bible says that we were enemies towards God because of our wicked works, Colossians 1 says. Can you imagine giving a gift to your enemy? Can you imagine giving a gift to someone who's hurting you? Someone who hates you even? And, you know, that's the picture here. God didn't give us the gift because we were good. God didn't come to give us the gift because we deserved it. God didn't come to give us the gift because we even love him. God came and his love was totally selfless. God loved us even though we didn't love him. And God wants to give us this gift in spite of our sin. That's amazing, isn't it? God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We've all sinned, haven't we? Let's be honest tonight, we've all sinned against God. You say, what's sin? Well, everyone out there, every Aussie has a different version or definition of the word sin. Oh, well, I'm not a bad sinner really, you know, I'm a good bloke, good lady, whatever. I work a decent work week and, you know, pay my taxes, don't cause anybody any troubles, mow the grass for me neighbours. You know, we can look pretty good, can't we, when we compare ourselves to others. But God doesn't judge us on that basis. God takes his law, the Ten Commandments, and he judges right and wrong based on that. And you find the Ten Commandments, things that we sometimes say are small things, we find things like lying, stealing, dishonouring our parents, blaspheming, that's a big one, isn't it? Saying, oh my, okay, using Jesus' name or God's name as a swear word, committing adultery. Jesus said if a woman lusts, he commits adultery with her in his heart. And so we have a quick look at the Ten Commandments and we find out, wow, we are big sinners before God. We have broken God's law and we don't deserve to be saved. We don't deserve forgiveness. In fact, all we deserve is punishment. All we deserve is to be sent to hell for our sins. But isn't that amazing that God made a way for us to be forgiven? God loved us. Christ died for us. We should have died. We should have been punished for our sins. But Christ came, and that's why he came. He came to take all of our sin upon himself. So we have there that he gave his only begotten Son. Listen to the words of Isaiah 9:6. For unto us, that's interesting, isn't it? Unto us a child is born. Unto us, see how God's focus was upon us, helping us. A son is given. There's that word again. And the government shall be on his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now we had the verses read for us tonight from Luke chapter 2. Verses 8 through 11, you remember the story about the shepherds there abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks. And what did the angel say unto them? Well, he said, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to, listen, all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. So Christ was God's gift to the world that first Christmas. And he's still God's gift to the world. Christ is God's gift to the world, to everyone who will receive him. That's amazing. You know, the sad thing though tonight is that most people then and most people now show very little interest in this gift. Many don't even care. Some people don't even know about it. Some people know about it but don't want anything to do with it. Some people have heard about it many times but still reject it. Why would you reject the most precious gift? You know, maybe you're like that inn. Remember, the Bible tells you, remember how when Mary brought forth her firstborn son, she wrapped him in swaddling clothes. We sang it tonight, didn't we? Away in a manger. No crib for a bed. The little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. And the Bible tells us in Luke 2:7 that she wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Why? Because there was no room for them in the inn. You know, I see a picture there of the human heart. No room for Jesus. That's like, it's just like it, isn't it? When Jesus came to earth as the perfect gift, as the gift for man's sin, there was no room for him. And that's what it's like tonight. That's what it's like virtually every Christmas season for most people. They have their mind on gifts and family get-togethers and all the various things that make up what we often know as Christmas, but there doesn't seem to be often any room for Jesus. Oh, but you need Christ. You need Christ. You say, well, why did God actually give his only begotten Son for us? Well, very simply, to save us from our sins. Matthew 1:20, the angel said to Joseph in a dream, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him. That's Joseph in a dream saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Do you understand that? That the Lord Jesus didn't die by accident. Some people look at it that way. Oh, what a tragedy. This man, Jesus, was such a wonderful man who did all these wonderful things and they took him and killed him. And what a sad end of the story. No. Did you know, as we sang earlier, Jesus Christ was born to die? What an amazing thing. When you bring your little child into the world, you don't think of it that way. You want to see that child live as long as it can. But do you know that the Lord Jesus was born to die? That's why he came. He came to save us from our sins. That's what the Bible says. So we can see the content of the gift. The source, it's from who? What's the content? Only begotten Son. Now, how do we receive the gift? Let's look at the verse there. That, let's read it together, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So, we understand the source of the gift comes from God, God's love. The content, what is the gift? It's Jesus Christ. And Christ brings forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Now, how do we receive this gift? There is a condition here on how we can receive it. We can't pay for it, but we do need to receive it. Firstly, who can receive this gift? Can anybody give me a clue? Whosoever. That means you, doesn't it? That means me. That means everybody. You say, oh, well, I'm not sure if this Christian thing's for me. It's for you. I'm not sure if Jesus is for me. He's for you. Absolutely. For whosoever, that means anyone, any person. That's the message of the gospel. 2 Peter 3:9 says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Listen to the words, some of the final words in the Bible, last book of the Bible. Revelation 22:17, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. So you don't have to be here tonight and be in any doubt that God intended this gift for you. You don't have to be in any doubt that Christ wants to save you. You say, I'm not sure if God loves me. He does. I'm not sure if I'm one of those who could receive this gift. You are. God says, whosoever, that should encourage you to reach out and to receive that gift. So who may receive the gift? Anyone. How is this gift to be received? Well, there's an important little word there. Whosoever what? Believeth in who? In him. Who's him? Jesus. Christ. You say, what does the word believe mean? Well, it simply refers to faith. So if you could imagine it this way, again, thinking about the gift, how do you receive a gift? Well, you reach out your hands and you what? Receive it. And that's really a simple picture of faith. We come to God. We don't have eternal life. There's nothing we can do. But we put out our hands and we receive what God wants to give. But like I said before, you can know all about the gift and it won't help you unless you receive it. You can reject it, know God, or you can receive it. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, there's that word him again. Who's that? Jesus Christ. As many as received him, that's Christ, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Interesting that God puts these two words in the one verse, receive and believe. So believing is receiving and receiving is believing. They're both linked together. Let me read you some more verses. We're nearly finished. Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's so important. The word heart. You know, a lot of people know about Jesus in their heads. If I was to ask some of you tonight, do you know about one who came to earth by the name of Jesus Christ? You say yes. Do you know he died on the cross? Yes. Do you know he was buried? Yes. Do you know he rose again from the dead? Yes. But let me ask you tonight, you may know all those things in your head, but have you received Christ into your heart? That's very important. Because many people miss heaven by just a few inches between their head and their heart. It's true you need to know about Christ here in your head, but you need to also act on what you know, and you need to reach out those hands, say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I can't save myself, and I need you now to forgive me of my sins, to come into my life, and to be my Saviour. And the Bible says when you do that, thou shalt be saved. What do you think we've been saved from? Anyone want to suggest an idea? Saved from hell, saved from sin. Remember that? They'd call his name would be called Jesus, for he would what? Save his people from their sins. When you save someone, you rescue them. We need to be rescued from our sins. So it says, how can we receive this gift? Well, by faith. Believeth in him. That's the Lord Jesus. That's very important. It's not faith in anything. Do you understand that tonight? Well, I have faith in Buddha, or I have faith in my religion. I have my own. A lot of people say, you're talking to say, well, I have my own private beliefs. I have my own faith. As if that's going to be enough. No, I'm not trying to knock you for that. But the Bible makes it clear that this gift that God is offering is only for those who have faith in Jesus Christ. You must put your faith in Jesus Christ and him alone. The Bible tells us very clearly that in John 14:6, in fact, Jesus himself said in John 14:6, I am not a way, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the only way. There are many ways to get to this building here tonight, I think. All right, there's one main road there, but maybe you came from the southern end or the northern end or this side of town, that side of town. And sometimes people think, oh, well, I guess there's many roads to God. They all lead to the same place. That's actually not true. Jesus said, I am the way. Acts 4 verse 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We can only be saved from sin. This gift only comes to those who put their faith in Jesus Christ. All right, we come to our last point now. Fourth thing about this gift. Can we see the purpose of the gift here? Let's have a look. So we see the source. Who's the source of the gift? Okay. What did God give? What's the content? He gave what? His only begotten Son. Okay, how do we receive the gift? Okay, who can receive it? Okay, do we have to have faith in just anything or in who? In Christ. Right, what's the purpose? Here we go. Should not what? Perish, but have everlasting life. Can you see the purpose of the gift? What is the purpose of the gift? Well, it's to save us, isn't it? Should not what? Perish. It's a frightening word, isn't it? Perish. Now, we understand we're all going to face death one day, but in the Bible there are two deaths. The first death is when my body dies, but there's another death the Bible calls the second death, and that's for those who've rejected the gift. That's sad. To reject the gift of God means that I'm going to perish. If I don't receive the gift, I'm going to perish. That doesn't mean I'm going to cease to exist. That means I'm going to spend eternity in a place the Bible calls hell. You say, Pastor, it's Christmas. Don't want to talk about hell. You say, does God want to send me there? No. The Bible says that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. That's fair enough, isn't it? Don't you want the devil to go to hell? He deserves to go to hell. But you have a choice to make. God doesn't want to send you there, but you have a choice. Like I said tonight, you can either receive the gift God wants to give you, but if you reject it and you go to hell, that's your fault, not God's, because you did not receive the gift. You know, Jesus Christ actually said more about hell than heaven. Did you know that? Jesus Christ, the one who loves us, said more about you read the Gospels, you find he says more about hell than heaven. Why? Is that because he wanted everyone to go there? No. That's because he wanted to warn you so that you wouldn't go to hell. But listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 13:14-42. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. How many of you have seen footage of the fires this week? It's sad, isn't it? Terrible. And there's something frightening about a huge fire. But I was thinking about it today. You know, these fires, as bad as they are, they can be put out. And eventually they will be put out. You have enough water, you have enough material and resources, and these fires can be put out. But Jesus Christ made it very clear that hell is a fire that cannot be quenched. That means it can't be put out. And it's for all eternity. And if we reject this gift, we'll perish. We'll perish. That means we'll be sent to hell for eternity. And so it's a pretty serious thing to reject this gift. So what's the purpose? Well, God gave us, because God loved us, he gave the gift so that we would not perish. That tells us God's heart, doesn't it? God does not want us to perish. And so he offers us that gift. So the purpose of the gift is to save us, to rescue us, so that we wouldn't perish, and then to give us life. See that? But have what? Everlasting life. So rather than perishing forever in eternity in hell, God wants to give us rather what? Everlasting life. How long is everlasting? forever. Does it end? No. And we have a choice tonight. You can either spend eternity in heaven because of this gift, forever in heaven, or if we reject the gift, we can spend eternity in hell. That's your choice tonight. Oh, I hope you'll receive the gift tonight. 1 John 5:12 and 13 says, "He that hath the Son," that's Jesus Christ, "hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." Let me just quote that verse to you again. Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life." Through who? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. So my challenge to you tonight is this, very simply. Will you receive God's gift tonight? Do you know you could do that right now? Because God is alive and well. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He's alive and he loves you. And as we bow our heads in a moment, you could pray a simple prayer. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now, we talked about it coming from the heart. You pray an empty prayer, you won't be saved. But if you're truly sorry for your sin tonight and you truly want to receive Christ, the gift of eternal life, salvation from sin, forgiveness, if that's your heart's desire and you're willing to turn from your sin and your own way, not trusting in anything you've done, but to trust only in Christ, then you can know that you have everlasting life. So let's read the verse once more together, shall we? John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Let's all bow for prayer. Let me ask you again, we have every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. Can you imagine rejecting this gift? Let me ask you again, would you receive this gift this Christmas? Can you imagine? It's like the Lord Jesus is coming to you right now where you're seated tonight. And he says, "I want to give you eternal life with me in heaven. I want to take away your sin. I want to give you eternal life." Can you imagine saying, "No, Jesus? No, Lord Jesus Christ, I reject that gift"? Why would you do that? You know, you're not here by accident tonight. God had you here so you could hear this message. God has given you an opportunity to receive the gift of eternal life, to receive forgiveness of sins. I wonder tonight, while everyone's not looking around, every eye's closed, would there be anyone who would just raise their hand quietly and say, "Pastor, I would like to receive that gift tonight. I'd like to receive that gift you just described. I'm not going to reject it." Yes. Anyone else? Thank you. You can put your hand down now. Just raise your hand quietly. Yes. That's good. Anyone else? Pastor Simeon, I would like to receive the gift of eternal life tonight. I don't want to reject the gift and perish and go to hell. I want to receive the gift of forgiveness. I want to receive the Lord Jesus into my life. Yes, anybody else? Do you just raise your hand quietly? Don't reject the gift. Maybe there's a battle going on in your heart tonight. And you've heard this message before and you know, "I should raise my hand. I should take the opportunity." You may not live till tomorrow. I'm not trying to scare you, but we don't know how long we have. Would there be anyone who would say, "I don't want to reject the gift tonight and perish and go to hell forever. I want to receive the gift. I want to open up my hands and receive the gift of the Lord Jesus, receive forgiveness of sins." Anyone else? A couple of hands have been raised. Is there anyone else who'd say, "I'd like to receive the gift tonight"? Anyone else? I'm not going to call you out by name. I'm not asking you to join the church. I'm not trying to play a trick on you. I just want to give you an opportunity to call on Christ tonight. Anyone else? "I'd like to receive the gift." Okay, for those who raised their hands, perhaps you could pray a simple prayer in your heart now, right where you're seated. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You could just simply pray, "Lord Jesus," or something like this, "Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. but I believe you came and died on the cross for me and rose again. And I now receive you, Lord Jesus, into my heart and into my life to forgive me from my sin and to be my Saviour. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving me tonight. Amen. Now, if you prayed that from your heart, the Bible tells us that you have received that gift. Lord, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for the Word of God and for the simplicity of the Gospel. Lord, for those who maybe didn't raise their hands, but in their hearts would like to receive you, Lord, I thank you that they still can, even right now as I pray, they could say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I've sinned against you, but I repent of my sin. Come into my heart. Wash me with your blood. Forgive me of my sin. I receive now that gift of eternal life through Christ. Lord, for those of us who know you as Saviour, we pray that we would be busy during this Christmas season in sharing Christ with others. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for your patience. We'll close with a final hymn tonight. Hymn 220.